Thank you, Carla. Appreciate that nice little rendition this morning. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today? We had a couple days that made us think of spring, didn't we? And I know we got to get through these next couple days, and then guess what? We're back in the 60s coming up, but a lot of rain with that. But anyways, it's good to see all of you. We're so glad that you're with us this morning. We want to welcome you, and we want to welcome those that may be tuning in this week online. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And we've come to, during this Lenten season, to continue to grow closer to the Lord as we continue talking a little bit about flourishing. And we'll talk more about that later. But as we begin, let's stand and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it's now and ever shall be.
Let's join together for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. We gather in Jesus' name to encounter God's grace.
We open hearts and minds to worship God.
Into life's challenges and questions comes God's reign.
God's love is with us throughout our journey.
Into our routines and rituals walks Christ's presence. The Holy Spirit equips us for the journey.
The power of the Spirit sustains and supports us.
Yes, it does. Well, let's join together. If you either have the hymn book or the little sheet this morning, we're going to be singing four verses of The Church's One Foundation. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partake one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth has union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee. Well, let's join together for our opening prayer there in the bulletin. God of light and love, your Spirit enlivens us, our spirits, even as we walk in keeping with your reign that is active among us. Bless us each day that we might share the promises of your Beatitudes with a world struggling to find its way. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. We're going to be singing Our God, Our Help. And we're going to be singing, since it is short little verses there, singing all five. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient. guide while life shall last, and our eternal home. Well, I think we'll go right to our prayer time today. So maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer. Somebody today. Yes. Okay. Someone else. Okay. Somebody else.
I have a coworker that had a liver transplant about a month ago and was back in the hospital. So just got home. So just asking for prayers for recovery.
Can we share the name or we want?
Jennifer.
Jennifer. Okay. Let's remember Jennifer this morning in our prayers. Yep. And, yep, go ahead.
My boss's father, Mike. Mike is having part of his lung removed this week for surgery.
So we want to remember Mike in our prayer with that surgery and partial removal there. Somebody else, yes. Oh, okay. Okay. So we want to remember the Jess family with the loss of her brother. And then who's, can you give me the last name of the other one?
The last name of Russell Davis.
Davis family, okay.
And it's not my brother, Mike.
Oh, I thought Mike was your brother.
No, uncle.
Oh, your uncle. Okay, that's right, yeah. All right, so we want to remember the Jess family, the Davis family, and the loss of those loved ones. Somebody else. Yes.
Yeah, I'm praying for my family, Joe Hart family, because they're all going out to Utah to celebrate my great-granddaughter's birthday, and they're coming from Germany and Columbus and everywhere, flying and driving.
Wow. So we want to remember the Hart family as they are a bunch of them traveling for that. And so, yes. Someone else. Couple there. Go ahead.
I saw in the paper where Butch Scully's brother passed away and he had been praying.
Yeah, and that was Mike too, wasn't it? Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, he had not said anything to me. I know it was getting bad. He had told me at one of the basketball games, and yeah, pretty much like hospice. And so we want to remember the Scully family. Somebody else saw another one. Yeah.
Nancy Kirk got shingles first this week, shingles, and supposedly it was up close to her eyes.
Ew.
And she spent most of the week, I think, in the hospital.
Okay, so we want to remember Nancy in our prayers. Someone else. Someone else.
American troops in Iran.
Yep.
And whatever's happening with Matthew, I don't know. Yeah.
Yes, definitely want to keep them in our prayers. And in the situation with Iran and our troops that are in the... What is that, the Mediterranean Sea that they're in?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. And definitely there. So, someone else. Yeah.
Good report.
What's that?
Good report.
Good report.
That's what I'm praying for.
Okay. She had a test done, and I think you're waiting to see. So... You want people to pray, they need to know how to pray. God does not answer vague prayers. He doesn't. He said to be specific and ask in his name. So, Talk to the Father in my name. Somebody else. Yes.
We still need to be praying for Tip City. Our community has taken
the... Yes. Yes, it has. I was there the other night, and I was thinking about that. Everything that's happened there with Tip City and the loss and the... Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Someone else. Yes. You just keep pressing on.
Yes.
You just keep pressing on. I hope the doctor tells me that one day. Although I remember when my dad got to 98, he kept saying, "Lord, why am I still here?" I don't think he always felt. but yes. Somebody else, yes. She was, yes. I talked to her Friday, was it? I think I talked to her Friday. And she was tired. And she said she wasn't hungry. And I said, "You eat anyways." Because I said, if you don't eat, whether you want to or not, you won't get the strength back to recover right. And she understood what I was saying, so. And I know some of you have already been bringing food out to her, so, yeah. So, I didn't tell her. I should have bribed her a little bit more. And I said, "Yeah, you can't let all that good food go to waste." But I didn't say that, so. But, we want to definitely continue lifting up Georgia. She's on our list there. And as she's recovering. And, she said everything went real well, so. But yeah, so somebody else. Yeah.
I want to thank everyone for thinking of Doug while he had his surgery. He did amazing, more than I ever thought.
Yes.
Wear that sling or anything. So.
Yeah. Yes. And thankfully, it wasn't any kind of damage. They just needed to take some stuff off that was causing the problem. So we're very thankful for that. A lot quicker recovery. So somebody else. Anybody else? I want to remember Evan Demet, Mrs. Demet, the second grade teacher at Miami East. Evan is in college, and gosh, I wish Jody was here because she was texting her back and forth. But he did something in his arm, and it got cut open. It was very serious. They had to rush him to the emergency. It was a little tricky there for a while because of what had happened. But I was talking to Ashton yesterday at school, and he said that he might get to come home.
He is home, Jason.
Did he make it home?
Okay. Yeah, she sent a text.
That's good.
Like,
yeah.
His elbow and, like,
yeah, it was crazy. I know. I mean, they got to the point where they were concerned about his arm,
yeah.
You know, losing it. So, yeah. And so we're very thankful. But we want to continue keeping him in our prayers. And then Lynn is asking for prayers for Jonah Whirling, her grandson. Ricky and Adrienne's little one, 2-year-old, has, what is it?
RSV,
yes. And Jeff and Lynn were exposed to it. And so kind of want to remember them too, because that's a little scarier as you're older. To get that, but also for the young kids. And, she said, "I won't be here for a while until they know for sure that they're going to be cleared and everything of it." So we want to remember little Jonah this morning. Any other prayers? Gosh, I almost got a whole page full. Yes, of lots of them to remember this morning. So maybe some of these names kind of jump out at you, and you can just kind of mention them there in your prayers as she plays, and then I'll come and close us out. Lord, as we pause this morning, we want to thank you for your presence with us. That you are active in our world today because of Jesus and all that he did. And that he is active in our world also through the power of your Spirit, working in people's lives, working behind the scenes in situations. And we thank you for the privilege that we can be partners with you and participate in what you're doing in this world when we pray, when we intercede, when we lift up situations, when we lift up people, and so much that you use us, and it makes a difference. Because you said the prayers of the righteous are effective. And so, God, we thank you that we have that privilege to be able to partner with you and make a difference in our world and in our communities and in our families and people we know, people we work with, just so many ways. God, we lift up those that have specifically been mentioned today for Jennifer, Lord, for this recovery from the liver transplant and some of the issues maybe that were happening a little bit there. God, we ask your hand to be there. For Mike, who's going in for surgery for this partial lung remover, that you will guide and bless and be with him. For Nancy Kirk, who's battling shingles today, God, for your healing touch and strength there. For Kathy, Lord, as she's waiting, trusting you for a good report, and we join with her in that today. For Georgia, for a continued recovery and strength and appetite and all of those things. Especially give her that strength as she will begin rehab soon, Lord. For little Jonah, God, that you will touch his little body and bring healing and grace as they are treating him protect Jeff and Lynn and mom and dad. God, just be with them through all that. Lord, we are thankful that you heard our cries when we prayed for Evan, Lord, and you granted your mercy, and we just ask for your continued healing and recovery, and Lord, we're just thankful for that today and ask that you would continue to do that. Lord, we pray for the Hart family as many of them are going to be traveling out west and to see that new one. And we just pray that you'll be with all of them and give them traveling mercies. Lord, we lift up the Jess family, the Davis family, the Scully family today with all of these loved ones, Lord, that you would grant your grace and your peace and your comfort in their loss today. Lord, we think about Tip City and with that loss, but also with all that was involved with that, God. We ask for your love and your grace and your strength and your peace today for that community, Lord, as we lift them up to you. Lord, we pray for our troops that are overseas right now. Many of them are in the Mediterranean and in the middle of all that's going on there. And we just pray, God, for your strength and grace and protection, Lord, that there will be a quick ending to all of this and that they will be able to negotiate quickly what needs to be handled there. And we pray for wisdom and guidance and your Spirit to be there through all of that, Lord. And today we also lift up the unspoken needs, the two that were mentioned. Maybe there's others today that came in and they have needs and or something for someone else that they couldn't share. God, that you will just grant your grace in the midst of that, meet those needs as only you can do, as we trust you. And we thank you for that today. Lord, we ask your continued wisdom and guidance for our leaders, our national and state leaders and community leaders, and Lord, down to our local level here in our townships and counties, God, that you will just continue to give wisdom and guidance through all that's going on in our world and in our own country today. Lord, we also pray your continued blessing upon this community of faith. We think about those that have been in our monthly list, many of them that have been going through treatments and that need your healing grace. One that needs that kidney, God, that you will just open up that door today. And maybe, Lord, if that works out, that even this very week, she may hear something. We ask your grace in all of that. Every one of those needs, every one of those people that we've been praying for each month, Lord, that you will, we lift them up to you now and ask that your hand would move in those situations, granting grace and strength and healing and recovery and so many things there, protection and watching over. God, thank you for that. Bless the rest of our time together. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to gather as your people, to sing, to pray, and to hear your word. Just like when Jesus met with his disciples and they did the same thing. Lord, grant your blessing upon this time as we ask it now in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for praying with us this morning. And I don't know why. I'm hoping maybe we will hear some good reports the next week or two with some of our praying today. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. Thank you for your faithfulness and being the first Sunday of the month. We have our noisy collection there. So if you got any change, loose change, or dollar bills, you can throw in. And it goes to our heifer project every year. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give. Well, let's join together there for our prayer dedication in the bulletin. Gracious God, transform our gifts and offerings into blessings for a weak and weary world, that all may touch your great love. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Thank you, Carla, for playing that Lord's Prayer song this morning. Wow. When, as soon as she started, I knew what it was, and I was like, wow, it's been a while since I've heard that. And what a blessing that ministered to me as I was sitting there with my eyes closed. So, well, our scripture reading again, we're going to read it every week for a while. I'm going to read different versions of it. Some will sound similar, some will sound a little different as we read through the Beatitudes each week. And so I'm going to read chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 1 through 11 again. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside, and after he sat down and the disciples had gathered around, Jesus began to teach them, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who are mourning. They will be consoled. Blessed are those who are gentle. They will inherit the land. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. They will have their fill. Blessed are those who show mercy to others. They will be shown mercy. Blessed are those whose hearts are clean. They will see God. Blessed are those who work for peace. They will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their struggle for justice. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are fortunate when others insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of slander against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward in heaven is great. They persecuted the prophets before you in the very same way." That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, Mark and Teresa, teenage sweethearts, were on the sofa in one another's arms when there came a sound of a key in the front door of their luxurious apartment. Teresa bolted upright. Her eyes were wide with alarm. "Oh no," she cried. "It's my father. Quick, jump out the window." Mark, equally alarmed, raced towards the window. Then all of a sudden he looked out and he protested, "Are you crazy? I can't jump," he said. "We're on the 13th floor." "For heaven's sakes," Teresa said, "this is no time for superstitions." So we began last week for Lent a series on flourishing, dealing with the Beatitudes. Now, I started to think this week, and I did a little nosing around in my computer, and I did realize we did do a series on flourishing where we went through various parts of Proverbs back a year or so ago, year and a half ago. But I thought, well, that's all right. We'll just call it flourishing anyways, because we find out that when we walk in certain ways the Lord has provided for us, it's part of what helps us to flourish in life and sustain us through the things that we go through. So last week I talked about the good news of the Beatitudes, and we talked about the Beatitudes and what they meant and what Jesus was trying to convey a little bit by them, just in general, as an introduction. Today, I said I was going to talk about God's reign, or sometimes we hear it referred to as the kingdom of God or the reign of God, or Matthew's version, the reign of the heavens. And because it's tied and connected closely with the Beatitudes. And so I want to kind of lay that foundation. And then this next week, we'll get into the Beatitudes themselves. So as we begin today, what values do you hold dear or believe are important? What values? I thought about it. I think I'm going to do it. Does anybody want to share? What comes to your mind? What do you hold to? There we go. Honesty, which is one I had down. What else? Hard work. That's the second one I had down. Yep. What else? Loving. What?
Loving kindness.
Yeah, loving kindness. I had supporting others. Yeah, these are the things we try to instill in our kids when they're growing up. And all those. And we could say a whole bunch more. Well, here's the thing that we've been talking about the Beatitudes, and now we're going to talk about God's reign. Jesus adhered to what we might call kingdom values, or God values, or we might even say Jesus values, or the phrase I use or expression a little bit more is the Jesus way. And we're talking about the values that Jesus adhered to, not just adhered to, but he practiced them, he walked in them, and he preached and taught them. And part of what Jesus valued is what we refer to today or call God's kingdom or God's reign. So what is the good news about God's reign? What is the good news? Two things, and if you happen to notice, if you happen to grab the sermon outline, you'll notice it starts with a 2, Roman numeral 2, and then 3, because it's really building off last week's kind of introduction. So just for you that noticed, you thought I did a typo. No, I didn't. It was meant to be that way. I just knew last week with everything in communion, I wouldn't be able to get through the entire message if I would have preached all 3 points. First, Jesus imagines, there's your first word, imagines a different reality for the world. Jesus imagines. When Jesus came on the scene, he began to preach right away, at least after his baptism and all that. And he began to imagine a different reality for the world. And in no place anywhere do we see Jesus forcing that reality or those values on the world. He doesn't do it. What does he do? He starts with David. He starts with Cindy. He starts with Doug. He starts with me. Okay, let's get more historical. He started with Matthew. He started with John, Peter, Andrew, Bartholomew, those first people. And then Luke tells us about the women, Mary and Mary. There were two Marys. And yes, Joanna. All these ones, these first ones, he began to instill that different reality into them. And Jesus' vision for the world is unique. There's your second word. Why was it unique? Well, I'll tell you why. Because in Jesus' day, similar to ours, and really history, power, authority, and privilege were maintained and exploited by a few. In fact, as from all the historical research that we have about the Roman Empire, these elite rulers and leaders, you know, today you hear it on social media, the 1%. Well, in Jesus' day, it was 2% of the population. But guess what that 2% controlled? 50 to 65% of the wealth. By dominating the land and sea, its produce, and producers. And who was the producers? Farmers and fishermen from rural areas. And into this dominance comes Jesus's vision for an upside down world. I'll never forget when I was in seminary, I think it was my second year, so it would have been in my last year of my master's, a book came out by an Anabaptist minister and scholar who talked about Jesus's upside down kingdom. That was the name of it. Talked about everything that was different that Jesus taught compared to how everything happened in Palestine and in the Roman Empire. And Jesus comes in and he begins to tell a different story for our lives, for their lives. What is that story? What is that he tried to tell them about? So this is your part B there. And that's God's transforming dream, your next word, of a better world arrives with Jesus. When he came on the scene, he began his first preaching sermon. He said, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. Change your ways and begin to live the way I'm going to teach you. Now, really for Matthew, it starts way earlier than that. Because this dream begins for Matthew with Jesus' birth. As Matthew declares Jesus as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Matthew was trying to get them to see that this little baby that was born is God with us. And that's where it began. And then later, when Jesus began his ministry, he told his followers, you will know God's reign, God's dream is present and working when you hear me preach the good news to the poor. When I heal the sick, when I raise the dead, when I feed the hungry, when I set people free, when I forgive people, and when my disciples follow my ways. And the Beatitudes, as we will look at over the next weeks, manifests this dream that God wants to bring and began with Jesus. Matthew called this life-altering dream for the world as the reign of the heavens. And Matthew and Luke called it the reign of God. Now, a lot of our English translations say the kingdom of the heavens or the kingdom of God. But here's the thing. Jesus' language here is not about a place, but it's about activity. So it's God's action. It's God's action, God's work in our world. That's what we mean by that kingdom of God, that reign of God. And so it's that dream that God has of working in our world, and it began with God working in Jesus, and as we're going to see over the weeks to come, it continues by God working through us to others in the world. And that is what I want us to see, because in Jesus' day, Jesus mediates God's reign for the world. Mediates is your next word there. In other words, he's the go-between. We've heard that, mediator. Jesus, our mediator. We've heard that through the years. What does that mean? That means God stands between, or Jesus stands between God and us and mediates God's blessings down through us. And here's the important thing. That word there for reign or kingdom is basileia. And in ancient Greece, basileia, listen to this, referred to a ruler who mediated divine benefits for people's welfare and care. When I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, that fits Jesus perfectly with what he does. Because when he came into the world and said, hey, the kingdom of God is at hand, God's reign is right here with us working, and he's working through me, It's because Jesus was mediating God's grace and care to the world. And guess what? Jesus still does that today through the power of the Spirit who works through you and I. We become Jesus' hands and feet in the world. Now, we might call, or I like to call, this intention the Jesus way. Really, it was Scott McKnight in his little commentary on the Sermon on the Mount who first started calling this the Jesus way. And what is that? The Jesus way, God's reign, God's working in our world, gives us a glimpse of what God would like our lives and world to be. But we know that that doesn't always happen, does it? I'm going to say more at the end about that. But I need to get to something else. At the beginning of my message, I ask you about values. Here's the next part I want you to see. Jesus shares values. There's your next word. That enhance flourishing. There are kingdom values. There are Jesus values. There are God values that Jesus taught that enhance our flourishing. So building off of that, Jesus taught certain ideals. There's your next term. He believed would help people flourish. Now, ideals are usually up here, aren't they? You know, have you ever had somebody said, man, you're really idealistic. Your heads are up here in the clouds and you have all these things. You think everything's going to work out right. You're just not a realist. You got to come down to earth and be a realist. Well, guess what? Every change that's ever happened in the world began up here with ideas and great ideas. You know, the benefits we have, the medicines we have, the technology, the ease that we live life. We could still be in a stinky old buggy with a horse we have to strap up and everywhere we go every day because somebody had ideas that made a difference. And here's the thing is these Jesus values embody virtues such as love, justice, mercy, humility, forgiveness, grace, and I could keep on going on, but I just listed those, that are empowered, as Paul argues for in Galatians 5. They're empowered by the Spirit, and they're accessed through faith as we trust in Christ. And let me tell you, these are not earthly values. They're not some culture values. They're not America's values or ideals or Germany's or whatever, Europe's or whatever you want to say. They are heavenly values that are present when Jesus' followers live them out. And such values transform hearts and society. So when I was a teenager, about 16, and my brother asked me to come and go to youth group where he was kind of leading at a church in Sydney. And so I came, and the first event I went to was roller skating night. And I do not roller skate. I do not ice skate. I tried them both, and I cannot, I'm not coordinated or whatever you want to say. I just can't stay up or stop or whatever you want to say with it. But that night with these teenagers, I noticed something different about them that caught my attention. They weren't like the kids I knew from school. They were different. I was trying to find out what that was. So my brother asked me to come to one of the youth meetings, and I did that. Then I started going to church. And through that whole experience, I received my call into ministry just because I saw some teenagers living some different values than what I had seen in others. And these values that I just shared transforms hearts and societies. What's Jesus doing? Jesus is restructuring. There's your next word, or your last word. Jesus is restructuring what it means or what it meant to flourish. In other words, if we want to have joy, if we want to be fortunate, as I talked about last week, or blessed, as we read from our translation today, we have to be able to think differently and live differently because of that. Jesus was presenting a new vision of life. It was meant to be lived in community with one another, whose hearts have been transformed and they've been made whole and healthy. And where the least are given just as much priority as the greatest among them. And the Beatitudes are part of what Jesus valued, what he held to, what he lived, what he taught, because they're part of the values of God's reign. So as I close this out, I want to share a story with you. A young Russian, deeply moved by the teachings of Tolstoy and the New Testament, had become a conscientious objector because of it. Standing before a magistrate, he spoke passionately about a life that loves its enemies, does good to those who mistreat it, overcomes evil with good, and refuses to take part in war. Now, where's he getting that from? Jesus. The judge listens and replied, "I understand, but you must be practical. The principles you're describing belong to the kingdom of God, and it hasn't come yet." The young man took a moment, and then he responded with these words, quote, "Sir, I understand that it has not come for you, nor for Russia, or for the world, but it has come for me right now. And I cannot continue hating and killing as though it hadn't." Interesting, isn't it? Somehow those words, those transforming words of Jesus that he taught, got into that young man and changed him. That is the good news of God's reign. It's working and active in the world, and it's claiming people and gets a hold of us on the inside and transforms us. And we live differently because of it. The good news of God's reign. Amen and amen. Well, let's take a few moments and greet one another and share the blessing, and then we'll close out with our little chorus there, "Oh, the Glory," this morning.
I have not heard that for so long. Yes, somebody used to say it for a solo when they were. Remember those longer weddings, you know, with special music and everything? Yeah. It is. Oh, is that what it was? It fell over?
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out what it was at first. And yeah, this form. I just heard something and I didn't know what it was. I just kept right on going.
That's all right.
Yeah, I can tell. You can go ahead and play through it once, and then.
Morning. Let's sing it together. Oh, the glory. We'll sing it through twice. Oh, the glory of your presence. We, your temple, give you reverence. So that song that we were just singing there, that's about God's reign. It's His beautiful presence that is working in our world. Well, let's join together for our benediction. Go now, trusting that our help comes from God. May God's presence strengthen us, Christ's faithfulness guide us, and the Spirit's wind bring us energy to serve with love. Amen.